ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय. सो रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 3 चैप्टर 6 टेक्स्ट 5. Thank you. Parena. Is that the right one? Yeah. Vishata. Swasmin. Matraya. Vishva. Trik. Ganaha. Chokshoba Anyanyam. Sorry about that. Asadya Yasmin Lokaha Charachara Parena Vishata Svasmin Matraya Vishvasri Ganaha Chakshobanyonyam Asadya Yasmin Lokas Charachara Parena Vishata Svasmin Matraya Vishvasri Ganaha Chaksho Banyanyam Asadya Yasmin Lokas Characharaha Parena Vishata Svasmin Matraya Vishvasri Ganaha Shaksho Banyanyam Asadya Yasmin Lokas Charachara. Please. Parina Vishatas Vasmin. Asadya Yasmin Lokas Characharaha Parena Vishata Svasmin Matraya Vishvasri Ganaha Chaksho Banyanyam Asadya Yasmin Lokas Characharaha Parina Vishata Svasmin Matraya Vishvasri Ganaha Chaksho Banyonyam Asadya Yasmin Lokas Characharaha Parina Vishata Svasmin Matraya Vishvasri Ganaha Chaksho Banyonyam Asadya Yasmin Lokas Characara Parina Vishata Svasmin Matraya Vishvasri Ganaha Chaksho Banyonyam Asadya Yasmin Loka Characara Vaishnavis Parena Vishvatas Vasmin Matraya Vishvasri Ganaha Chaksho Banyonyam Asadya Yasmin Lokas Characara Parena Vishata Swasmin Matraya Vishvasrigana Chaksho Banyo Nyamasadya Yasmin Lokas Charachara Parena by the Lord Vishata thus entering Swasmin by his own self Matraya by a plenary portion Vishva Srik the elements of the universal creation Ganaha all Chakshoba transformed Anyanyam one another Asadya having obtained Yasmin in which Lokaha the planets Chara Acharaha movable and immovable. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As the Lord in His plenary portion entered into the elements of the universal creation, they transformed into the gigantic form in which all the planetary systems and all movable and immovable creations rest. Purport. The elements of cosmic creation are all matter and have no potency to increase in volume unless entered into by the Lord in His plenary portion. This means that matter does not increase or decrease unless it is spiritually touched. Matter is a product of spirit and increases only by the touch of spirit. The entire cosmic manifestation has not assumed its gigantic form by itself, as wrongly calculated by less intelligent persons. As long as spirit is within matter, matter can increase as needed, but without spirit, matter stops increasing. For example, as long as there is spiritual consciousness within the material body of the living entity, the body increases to the required size, but a dead material body which has no spiritual consciousness stops increasing. In the Bhagavad Gita chapter 2, importance is given to the spiritual consciousness, not the body. The entire cosmic body increased by the same process that we experience in our small bodies. One should not, however, foolishly think that the individual infinitesimal soul is the cause of the gigantic manifestation of the universal form. The universal form is called the Virat Rupa because the Supreme Lord is within it in His plenary portion. Om Jnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. I seek the blessings of all the senior Vaishnavas that I may say something for the benefit of myself and all on the Gaudiya Vaishnava Siddhanta. So in this verse, it's mentioned that all the creations, they rest on this gigantic universal form. So it reminds me of when Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7:7, Mata paratananyanya kinchidasti dananjaya mai sarvamidam protam sutrimani ganaiva. Protam means it stays. So he says, O conqueror of wealth, there is no truth superior to me. Everything rests upon me as pearls are strung on a thread. So when we see beautiful pearls that are nicely arranged, first of all, it takes a lot of intelligence to get them there from a person. They have to go, and actually even before, you know, another living entity, the clam, takes some sand and then creates a beautiful pearl, and then a diver, or at least that's how they used to do it, they go and they open the clam and they collect all these pearls. I don't know who puts the hole in them, but they have to put a hole in it. And they put it on a string, and then it looks very beautiful altogether, all the pearls nicely arranged and organized. But we generally don't see the string. Like Krishna says, as pearls rest on a thread, you don't usually see the thread or notice the thread. But without the thread, the pearls cannot hang so nicely. So this is talking about the importance of resting, the ability of the material elements to rest on something so that they work nicely and come together in a beautiful way. So also Krishna emphasizes that there is no truth superior to me, meaning the ultimate truth is a person, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. One also, you can note that when the secretions or the substances of male and female are mixed together, the form of a baby is produced who grow up, and he may become like a successful business magnet, and he may launch many projects and create many jobs for people. So, and why is that? Because the Krishna's part and parcel is in that material mixture. The spirit soul is present there, and therefore, the matter is expanding and coming together in an organized fashion. So another point is that matter doesn't increase unless spiritually touched. It means, for example, like matter like citric acid or vitamin C, they're increasing in the many lemons on a lemon tree. I think Srila Prabhupada gives this example. And about the citric acid, how the matter is coming from life. There's a living entity in that tree, and the spiritual spark is there. And that's why so much matter in the form of citric acid or vitamin C, they're coming from that tree. So life comes from life. Yeah. So Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 7:4, Bhumirapinolo vayu kamano buddhirevacha ahankara iti anme bina prakritirasada, that earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, they constitute my separated material energies. So Srila Prabhupada says in the purport, he is the complete energetic person and he possesses different separated internal energies. So establishing that Krishna, again, that these energies are coming from a person, the Supreme Person. These eight separated energies, they expand into things like taste, touch, the 10 sense organs, smell, and they become the subject of study for materialistic science and atheistic Sankhya philosophy because they don't see the where it all rests. They don't see the thread. They just see the matter. That's all they focus on. So all these material elements in their complexity come from the Supreme Spirit, Sri Krishna, and matter comes from life. So the entire cosmic manifestation has not assumed its gigantic form by itself. Just as the complex and large form of a car is not formed by itself. So it takes a well-trained engineer who's a spirit soul and who builds the car using collective intelligence of countless other human beings. So he's building over history the combined intelligence of first the person who discovered the wheel. I guess they say reinvented the wheel, but looks like the wheel has been with us since time immemorial. But without understanding the wheel, of how the wheel works, you can't create the car. That's why I say they don't need to reinvent the wheel. So this engineer, and also, you know, Krishna within the heart, he's able to give knowledge so that the person can build the vehicle. So we're reminded of there's a story about a scientist 500 years ago who was in South America, and there apparently was a whole mountain of gold, silver, and the silver was like mixed in with the other elements on the mountain. So this scientist from Spain was trying to separate the silver from the mountain, and was trying to use the regular alchemical processes, but it wasn't working. So what did he do? He started praying to the Virgin Mary. So it's true. It's on the History Channel. So he's praying to the Virgin Mary, please give me, you know, like knowledge, what to do, you know. And then, you know, after a few months, he had a breakthrough, and he found this chemical that when added, I think it's like mercury or something, when added to the silver, it can extract, separate the silver from the other elements. So it reminds us of, you know, where's the knowledge coming from? You know, Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 15:15, Sarvasya cha amriti sannivishto matasprityar gyanam bhupavanam cha. The gyan is coming from Krishna. From me come knowledge, remembrance, and forgetfulness. So ultimately, we're a spirit soul, and we have a relationship with the Supreme Soul, Krishna. And that's where the knowledge comes from. So without Krishna's mercy and intelligence, the engineer can't create the car and can't build that. And collectively, engineers can't use the intelligence of each other to produce it. So it didn't happen. Less intelligent people, they'll say, like, there was an explosion and by chance there was a chunk and then somehow life formed. So they say that, you know, if you have water and you have sunlight, then there's like amino acids, like the building block, basic building blocks for life. And then somehow, and then there's a stretch and then it turns into life. But we can see that we don't build a car, a Tesla vehicle, for example, by, you know, just by chance and, you know, exploding a bunch of ingredients and, you know, there's no person there. There's hundreds of people and who've worked on that design to produce it. So there's no evidence for their theory, but we see many examples of intelligence and intelligent design, how it's working very nicely. Let's see. So when spirit is in matter, it increases as needed, but without spirit, matter stops increasing. Srila Prabhupada makes this point. He gives the example how the body of a baby, I don't think he gives this example in this purport, but how the body of a baby, because of the presence of the soul, it's growing and it's increasing. But if by some terrible, unfortunate circumstance, if the baby should die, which I hope doesn't happen, but sometimes it does, so then the body is not increasing. The matter is not increasing. The size of the body, rather, it stays stable for, you know, a couple of days, and then it starts to decrease. So with all this matter, you know, how if you look at the world and how vast it is, and how, you know, there's so many planets and so much matter, you know, the logic that flows is that it comes because there's a life, intelligent life form there, and it's increasing from there. Just like the soul on a minute level is increasing the volume of the body, so to its rightful jurisdiction. So similarly, the universe is there has to be a supreme soul from how the universe is created. Dead bodies are lumps of matter without life or soul or spiritual touch, and they decrease until they return to the material elements like earth, for example. So Srila Prabhupada mentions that in the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, the importance is given to spiritual consciousness and not the body. So just for example, Krishna says, there are many verses, I think starting with Dehinos Minyata Dehe 2:13 and going up to like the early 30s of the second chapter. But one verse, 2:28, Avyakta Dini Bhutani Vakta Madhyani Bharata Avyakta Nidinameva Tatraka Paridevana. So all created beings are unmanifested in the beginning. So it means that there's no soul I mean, there's a soul, but there's no created body, so they're unmanifested. Manifested is the material body, you know, but the soul's there. And then they're manifest in their interim means that there is a soul and a body, you know, and then unmanifest again when annihilated. So it means that there's a soul there, but there's no body. The body is material and it's annihilated. So what need is there for lamentation? So the body is not as important as the soul. This is a very important point, is that people spend so much of their lives working for only temporary material things that they know they're not going to be able to keep. Hoarding money and collecting so many gadgets and investing so much in materialistic education. And they know they're not going to keep it, but they spend so many hours of the day working on this. And then, you know, if there's Krishna conscious activities, then no time. But, you know, these are the activities that are eternal, that have eternal benefit. And these whether you're into Krishna consciousness or not, you know the other activities are just temporary activities. So whether... let me see. So people are insanely working for things that they know are temporary. They know they will not keep it and take it beyond death, but because they're unaware or unfortunate to understand, there is a difference. They don't know about a different direction to work, about like how their spiritual side of activities. So on the spiritual side, so they're stuck in this futile endeavor. So so Srila Prabhupada mentions in a conversation where the interviewer is talking about how your disciples are not contributing to society. They're not working regular jobs and participating in this, you know, rat race for material progress. And Srila Prabhupada brings up, he says, so what is important, the car or the driver? And what he was trying to say is that the car is the material side, the material vehicle and material work. And the driver is the spirit soul. Like this body is like our vehicle, it's like the car, it's material. But the spirit soul is eternal. So he's saying we're also working, but we're working on the spiritual side. The guy was like, couldn't really understand because he never thought that the soul was so important. So then Srila Prabhupada in the conversation talks about, you know, the prison system and how some inmates are hammering on bricks. And some other inmates are saying, you know, this hammering, you know, being in this prison is not a good idea. You should reform yourself and you should get out. And some of the prisoners are like saying, why aren't you hammering on the bricks as well, like us, you know? So he gave this example, and the whoever was interviewing or talking to Srila Prabhupada was having a bit of a difficulty understanding it. So Srila Prabhupada says that the entire cosmic body increased by the same process that we experience with our small bodies. So we have tried to explain this with the example of the mixing of the male and female secretions and the example of the I don't want to say it, but dead baby body. So a lack of growth because of the dead baby. So, and then finally, Srila Prabhupada, he cautions us to not think that because Krishna can create the giant Virat Rupa, we are the cause of the universal form. So we're always tiny, infinitesimal, minute particle of spirit, and Krishna is the supreme spirit. So we're always different in quantity than the Supreme Lord. We always have to remember that, how we can make us a car or a 747 jumbo jet, but Krishna is able to fly, you know, unlimited planets in the air because of that spiritual touch. He's able to fly them in the air. These planets are like spaceships. They're floating in space. and or also mentioned as like a palm full of dust in the hand of the Virat Rup by his plenary expansion as the universal form. So that's all I have so far. I could read some verses from the second chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, but that's all I had in the, as far as the verse is concerned. So are there any questions? Yes, Emil?
Hare Krishna, thank you for a friendly class. All obeisances to Prabhupada. Question is, I didn't understand at the end of the translation, was something mentioned about movable and unmovable?
Yes. So, yes.
Because I just didn't understand the last sentence of the translation.
So,
I try to remember. That's why I'm asking the question.
So it says, as the Lord in his plenary portion entered into the elements of the universal creation, they transformed into a gigantic form in which all the planetary systems and all movable and unmovable creations rest. So there's movable and unmovable creations, like you see the trees, they don't move much, you know, and the plants, so, or stones, they're mountains, and they're movable, like animals, four legs, or movable. So that's all I understand.
Is it referred to the material and spiritual energy?
Is it talking about material and spiritual energy?
Like the unmovable would be the material? No?
Well, I mean, yeah, the movable, like a mountain, although sometimes mountains fly, apparently. I haven't seen them. But, you know, they tend to be in one place, what it looks like immovable, and they're material. And these bodies are material as well, but they move. So, yeah.
Insentient and sentient living entities. The insentient would be like the stone, and the sentient would be like a human being, or even for that matter, an ant. An ant's a sentient being. It can move. It can. If you try to stop an ant, it'll go around your hand. And you can keep going, and the ant will always try to get away from you. Mm. Whereas a stone is sitting there, it doesn't move. It just sits there. It's a rock. So that's insentient. So the sentient living entity is more advanced and higher than the insentient. And Papa makes that example because Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, is a sentient living entity, just like we are. We can move. We can go, we can think, we can act. So sentient and insentient. That's also referenced here as movable and immovable.
Thank you, Prabhu. Nice point. Any other questions?
Okay, thank you. I think this whole discussion can be understood, and it can be realized in terms of what is trying to be said in the Bhagavatam. The important thing is that nothing moves without the will of the Supreme Lord. And if he doesn't will it, it sits and it stays and it doesn't move. But if he wills it, nothing can stop it from moving. So, therefore, we move because Krishna is allowing us to move. And if he doesn't want to allow us to move, we just sit in one spot and never move. So Krishna is these, we have to, of course, desire. And Krishna picks up our desire and enables us in response to our desire and allows us, helps us to move. So movement and non-movement has to do ultimately with whether Krishna will allow it. At some point in time, although we may want to move, but if Krishna doesn't want us to move, we don't move. But if Krishna wants us to move, even if we don't want to move, he gets us moving. Because he is the ultimate arbiter, determiner of our lives. And we have to see, although he be invisible, nonetheless, we can see his visibility by the fact that we are doing things or not doing things, and he is the ultimate cause of all those doings and non-doings.
Thank you, Marge. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.